Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book. Beyond Nature and Culture is a major work of comparative anthropology by French anthropologist Philippe Descola, first published in French in 2005 and later translated into English. The book examines a basic assumption of modern Western thought that nature and culture are separate domains, with humans occupying the cultural side and animals, plants, objects, and environments belonging to nature. Descola argues that this division is not a universal feature of human reasoning, but a historically specific ontology. Drawing on ethnography, philosophy, and comparative social theory, he develops a framework for understanding how societies identify continuities and differences between humans and non-humans. The book is theoretical rather than practical, but its implications reach environmental thought, political ecology, indigenous studies, and the philosophy of science. Its purpose is not simply to criticize Western categories, but to show that different worlds are composed through different patterns of relation, perception, and classification. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, the nature and culture divide as a Western historical construction. Descola begins from the claim that the familiar separation between nature and culture is not a neutral description of reality in modern Western thought. Humans are usually treated as beings with symbolic life, moral intention, and history, while non-humans are grouped into a natural domain governed by physical laws. This model makes it easy to imagine nature as external material that can be observed, managed, exploited, or protected from the outside. Descola shows that many societies do not organize experience through this split. For them, animals, plants, spirits, places, or artifacts may participate in social relations rather than merely form a background environment. The importance of this argument is methodological as well as philosophical. If anthropologists assume the nature and culture divide in advance, they may misdescribe other cosmologies by translating them into categories that those cosmologies do not share. The book, therefore, asks readers to treat modern naturalism as one possible arrangement among others, not as the hidden structure behind all human worlds. Secondly, for ontologies based on interiority and physicality, the best-known contribution of the book is its fourfold model of ontologies: animism, totemism, analogism, and naturalism. Descola builds this typology around two dimensions, whether humans and non-humans are understood to share similar interior qualities, and whether they are understood to share similar physical qualities. Animism, often associated with Amazonian and other indigenous contexts, treats non-humans as possessing forms of interiority comparable to humans, even when bodies differ. Naturalism, dominant in modern Western institutions, assumes physical continuity across living beings but reserves culture, subjectivity, or moral interiority mainly for humans. Totemism emphasizes shared identity or continuity between groups of humans and non-humans, while analogism sees the world as composed of many distinct entities connected through correspondences. The model is not meant as a simple classification of whole societies. Its value lies in making visible the underlying patterns by which different worlds become intelligible, and in showing why one society may see kinship where another sees biology or resource management. Thirdly, worlds are composed through relations, not only beliefs. Descola does not reduce ontology to ideas held in the mind. A central strength of the book is its attention to the practices and relations through which worlds are assembled. Modes of identification explain how beings are recognized as similar or different, but modes of relation explain how they interact. Descola discusses relational patterns such as exchange, gift, predation, protection, transmission, and production, showing that social life can extend beyond human society. This matters because a cosmology is not only a set of statements about what exists. It is enacted in hunting, gardening, ritual, naming, kinship, exchange with spirits, and everyday treatment of animals or landscapes. By focusing on relations, Descola avoids treating non-Western worlds as symbolic interpretations of a single natural reality. Instead, he shows that different collectives produce different practical arrangements of humans and non-humans. The result is an anthropology that studies the composition of worlds rather than the cultural representation of nature, shifting attention from belief systems to durable patterns of coexistence and action. Fourthly, the critique of production is a universal model of action. A significant part of the book challenges the Western habit of describing human activity through the language of production. In modern thought, production often implies an intentional subject imposing form on passive matter, creating an object that can then be possessed, used, or exchanged. Descola argues that this model has limited applicability outside the traditions that gave it authority. It fits well with naturalism because it presumes a sharp distinction between active human agents and an external world of materials. yet many cosmologies understand making, growth, transformation, and emergence through reciprocal or continuous processes, rather than through fabrication by an isolated individual. This critique has consequences for anthropology, because terms such as production of society, production of persons, or production of gender may smuggle Western assumptions into the analysis of other worlds. Discola is not denying that people transform their surroundings. He is questioning whether one culturally specific model of transformation should become the universal vocabulary for all forms of becoming, relation, and material change. Lastly, environmental implications without a simple return to indigenous models. Beyond Nature and Culture is often read as an important text for ecological thought because it reveals the assumptions behind modern treatment of the environment. If nature is imagined as a separate domain of objects, then extraction, management, conservation, and scientific study can all proceed from a similar distance between humans and non-humans. Discola does not offer a policy manual, and he does not romanticize non-Western societies as ready-made solutions to climate crisis. His contribution is more fundamental. He shows that ecological problems are also problems of ontology, because they depend on how collectives define agency, personhood, dependence, and obligation. Animist, totemic, or analogical worlds cannot simply be imported into modern states, but they can unsettle the inevitability of naturalist assumptions. The book, therefore, helps readers imagine environmental relations beyond the opposition between human progress and natural limits. Its difficulty is that the framework is abstract and demanding, but that abstraction is also what allows it to influence anthropology, philosophy, and political ecology. In conclusion, this book is best suited to readers interested in anthropology, environmental humanities, philosophy, science studies, indigenous cosmologies, and the intellectual roots of ecological crisis. It is not an introductory nature writing book, and it requires patience with conceptual argument, but it rewards careful reading by changing the terms of discussion. The main benefit is intellectual clarity. Readers learn to see the modern nature and culture divide as one ontology among others, rather than as the universal background of human thought. It also provides a rigorous vocabulary for comparing human and non-human relations without reducing other worlds to myth, belief, or symbolic culture. Compared with many books on ecology or anthropology, Beyond Nature and Culture stands out because it combines large theoretical ambition with ethnographic sensitivity. It does not merely argue that humans should respect nature. It asks why the category of nature became separate in the first place, and what alternatives become visible when that separation is no longer treated as self-evident. For scholars, it offers a durable comparative framework. For environmentally concerned readers, it offers a deeper diagnosis of the assumptions that shape modern forms of extraction, conservation, and coexistence. If you would like to support Philippe Discola, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.